Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and earned a finance degree from Western Michigan University. Since 1981, he's been with Russell Development Company, and since 1994, has been its managing director. RDC, for four generations, has been actively involved in both commercial real estate office and retail and the ultra-luxury residential sector. Since 2010, he's been the co-founder of the NCS Grosse Pointe chapter. Affectionately known in Grosse Pointe as the Mayor of the Hill, his name, Ed Russell III. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're with a great friend, someone that I admire greatly, Ed Russell, the managing partner since 1994 of Russell Development Corp. Ed, welcome and honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. You know, I'm not a sports celebrity, I'm not a politician, and I'm certainly not Miss America, but I know the illustrious guests that you've had over the years, and I'm honored to be here. Thanks very much for the invitation.
Thank you. Can you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father, we
even
just,
though you're not a minister as well.
That's right. Father, just thank you for the opportunity to be able to share the power that you've had in my life. Thank you for the friendship that we have, not only with you, but with other believers and followers of yours. We'd ask that this show may produce and display the power of living a life for Jesus. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Your grandfather, German descent, he comes to Detroit in the early 1900s. He's a floor layer.
Yep.
And he did okay, Ed. Talk about him.
Grandpa Russell was a very strict German, came over here in the early 1900s, as you mentioned, and he was just here to make enough money to go back to Germany and buy himself a farm. He was one of 12 children, and he came over, would take the streetcar with his tools and lay strip oak floors in the homes in Detroit. He did very well, a hard worker. He started building homes from going from floor laying to homes to duplexes to then buying apartments, and built a very nice company that blessed our family for many generations.
Then your dad joined him.
Yep.
Okay, you grew up in Grosse Pointe. Talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Well, I had wonderful parents, and we were a very close family. My mother, her father was also a contractor. They moved to Grosse Pointe in 1917, and we were all focused on God, family, and work, and not necessarily in that order, as my kind of trajectory happened. But we were a very close family. We did all the typical Grosse Pointe things. We would vacation in Florida during the winter. We had a hunting lodge in northern Michigan, and we did all the sports and things like that that suburban kids do. So I had a wonderful childhood. My parents were very devout believers in Jesus, evangelical Baptists, as a matter of fact. And my grandfather had built the church in Grosse Pointe. We were, all of our cousins and uncles were participating in different boards of the church, and we were very devoted to that.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, my mother was very proper, and I think probably the thing that I gained from her was hospitality. She loved to entertain, she loved to cook, and she really enjoyed reaching out to people and building friendships with them. In terms of my father, I would have to say it was really the work ethic. He made me work, or strongly suggested I work during the summer school vacations, at least a half a day when I was just a young boy. I would pick up bottles on the jobs when they had returnables. I would just be stacking bricks, sweeping out homes, that type of thing. But it really instilled in me not only some knowledge of the building trades, but also the work ethic, which was very important to me.
All right. All of us hear about Grosse Pointe, commonly known as the Points. You've lived there your whole life. You're known as the mayor of the hill. Tell us about the Points.
Well, it's funny. Last night we were talking about, I was on the other side of town, and they said, oh, so you get out of the bubble occasionally. And it certainly is a bubble. You know, if you, especially with my family being there so long, you know literally everyone. And sometimes the kids leave, but then they always seem to come back. They can't wait to get out of Grosse Pointe. And then when they start a family, they like to come back. It's a wonderful place to live. It certainly has served my family well. We were a dominant construction firm for many decades. My grandfather had purchased large tracts of land in the Grosse Pointe for many years, and we developed literally hundreds of homes in that area. So it was a very comfortable and certainly close to work type of a atmosphere. But I had aspirations beyond Grosse Pointe, Jack. You know, when I was a teenager, I had some little side businesses. I used to sharpen skis during the winter, wax and sharpen skis. Later on, I bought a limousine business that was a lot of fun. But I was always doing something, side businesses and things like that. So I just had aspirations of going beyond, the 5 points, so to speak.
You're known affectionately as the mayor of the hill. For those of us not from Grosse Pointe, what is the hill?
Well, believe it or not, I think the hill, the elevation change is probably about 8 feet. They reference it as the hill, and that is the business district of Grosse Pointe Farms. It's basically 2 blocks of businesses, offices. It was, when I was a kid, it was primarily retail and real estate offices. Now it's offices, restaurants, and then certainly the Henry Ford Hospital is there now. That's our business district.
We're talking to Eddie Russell. The only thing that the hill doesn't have is an outlet that sells socks, because no guy wears socks in Grosse Pointe.
That's right. That's right, Jack.
And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with my friend, Eddie Russell, the third. 1981. You joined Dad in the business. How and why?
Well, first of all, I was in my second year at Western Michigan University. The economy was absolutely terrible. I missed my girlfriend desperately, my now wife. And I said, I'm done. I'm going back home. And there really wasn't much to do at that point. It was the early 80s. Interest rates, prime was 20-21%. And there wasn't much going on, but I didn't want to sit there in Kalamazoo missing my girlfriend. So I came home. I decided that I would go into the business. We acquired the shares of the business from the other relatives that were in the business at the time, and away we went. And it was at that point when the economy started coming back, Reagan got into office, rates started to drop, and we took off with our first major subdivision in my generation, along the lake in Grosse Pointe Farms.
You mentioned a girlfriend. You outkicked your punt coverage when she married you, Marcia.
I certainly did. I certainly did. We met in high school. She was an older gal. She was a senior, and I was a junior. We met in the concert choir at Grosse Pointe North. And we were...
You've been singing ever since, Eddie. You know
I have. I have. And so we just hit it off, and through some back and forth over those years, and going to college, she went away to college, I did, we decided that this was a marriage, you know, made in heaven, and we would take the plunge. So in December of 81, we were married. I was not working because of the fact that the economy was so poor, and she was working for a bankruptcy lawyer downtown in Detroit. And after about 4 months of sitting around the house, I said, let's go to Florida. We went to Florida for about a month and came back, and things started to churn a little bit. I had a few opportunities, and away we went.
What's the biggest thing, Ed, Dad taught you about the business?
Well, it was specifically how to treat your sub-trades. So when my grandfather was running the company, we had all of our own workers, painters, carpenters, electricians, so on and so forth. And then as we got into the higher-end homes and less volume but larger projects, we would sub-trade out many of those that we formerly had. And his issue always was, and what he drilled into me, was you always pay your workers first. Make sure the workers are paid first, the materials paid second, because those people are putting food on the table, and they have to be paid if you want to have performance.
In the late 80s, you and your dad start to build shopping centers. Talk about that chapter.
Well, I had an opportunity through a couple acquisitions that I had made to buy a golf course in Clinton Township. It was a par 3 9-hole with some frontage on a commercial area, and we bought this golf course thinking we were going to build condominiums, which we actually did, and a commercial broker called me and he said, hey, I understand you've purchased this golf course. What are you planning on doing on the commercial frontage? And I said, I don't really know. And he said, well, Arbor Drugs is looking for a location in that area. Okay, great. So we got into the shopping center business. And that first one that I did was, a small neighborhood strip center, 35,000 square feet with Arbor Drugs and, the typical dry cleaners and, hair cutting and, those types of things, the restaurant and that. And I thought, wow, this is a great idea. I can build these centers. When I move the tenants in, I put a mortgage on them. I get most of my money back. And then I get checks every month from these tenants. And I thought, this is a great deal. So I started looking around for other opportunities. And we were on the upswing and had an opportunity to build a number of strip centers, freestanding commercial, all around Southeast Michigan. So I was very fortunate to be able to get into that.
I've heard many, many times, whether it's commercial real estate or residential real estate, there's only three things that are important. Location, location, location. How do you figure out if it's a good location?
Well, Jack, that's something that typically is driven by the tenant. So I built relationships with a number of the top brokerage firms in the city, and they would be associated with different retailers, and they would say, we need to have 8 stores in this market this year, and here are the general areas, and they go by 3 and 5 and 10 mile radius of intensity and incomes and so on and so forth. So they match the criteria with the locations, and we would go out and try to find properties that met those criteria.
We're talking Eddie Russell, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Ed Russell. He's affectionately known in Grosse Pointe as the mayor of the hill, whatever the hill is. All right, Ed, let's go to 2000. You're living the dream. You, Marcia, and the daughters, you've got places in Grosse Pointe, Beaver Creek, Martha's Vineyard. You had it all. What was missing?
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, there's a saying that your ego is not your amigo, right? I had this instilled need for success. And so I would do anything just to make a deal. And I would entertain at night, sports events, hunting, so on and so forth with clients, with potential retailers for my commercial side. And then all day long in the office, on job sites. And it took a toll on my family, I can tell you. It got to the point where, we had three children in private schools. As you said, we had homes around the country, a plane to take us there. Yet I was working so hard to support the toys. And I was ultimately kidding myself that I was doing it for my family, but actually I was doing it for and to feed my ego.
We had lunch a couple weeks ago, and you said something. I quote, "No one worships a self-made man more than his creator," and you weren't talking about our Heavenly Father.
Nope. And that's where the ego piece comes in, that sense of having to be someone that you think the outside world admires. We all admire people, whether it's business success or sports success or political success, whatever that may be. And we think that's what people admire. And I was missing the point of being filled really spiritually, and that emptiness was being filled by toys, by the accolades from people in our community or business success or what my net worth was building to be. Those were the obstacles in my life.
If there's a listener that says, "You're describing me," whether she's a real estate agent or a business owner, "But Eddie, you don't understand. Competition. If I want to keep winning against my competition, I've got to work 80 hours a week. I've got to take clients. I've got to do this. I've got to do this." You were lucky that you didn't have to. I have to.
Well, certainly, that's a great point, Jack. But Warren Buffett was asked one time, "What is the meaning? What is your definition of success?" And he said, "At my stage of life, success is when the people that you want to love you actually love you." And I think about that often because I consider that to be, our lives have to be whole lives. They have to be well-rounded. And certainly, you have to play by the rules to your point. But there is more to life than working 80 hours a week and dying with a big bank account.
All right, you mentioned a relationship with Jesus. In the late 80s, you were invited to a men's Bible study at a neighbor's house, and a great mutual friend and mentor of both you and me,
yes,
Mike Timmis, talked about Jesus the man.
Mm-hmm.
It transformed your life. What did he say that night?
Well, being a part, I was invited to this Bible study with all guys about my age, on the upswing, most of them very successful. And certainly I had grown up in the church. We would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, many times Wednesday evenings. But it was kind of more checking the box. And when I met Mike and got to know Mike, I met the person of Jesus that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not the religious Jesus, but the practical Jesus, the Jesus that I could take scripture and apply those concepts and his teachings to my life and really develop myself as a whole person. And that was transformative to me.
You presented in front of the men of the Holy Spirit at Queen of Martyrs a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you made this statement. One of my biggest struggles on a daily basis is, do I want friendship with the world or friendship with God? And then you said, I want to love both.
It's a struggle, right? I mean, every day we get up, we make that decision. Am I going to be God or is God going to be God? Who's going to lead me today? And that's something that really is important in my spiritual journey. Every morning when I get up early, I read a devotion. I have a proverb, a psalm, a New Testament, Old Testament reading, and that sets the course for me for the day. And it really gives me an opportunity to focus on, again, the whole person and determine the path that I'm going to take that day.
Ed, also at lunch, he gave a quote from Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Life. Please.
Yeah, Rick says, sooner or later, you figure out that God is all you need. Sooner or later, you figure out that God is all you need when God is all you've got. And I can tell you a quick story, because I had never had the loss of a close family member or anything else. But when I was developing a large commercial center, it was by far the largest deal that I had ever done, hundreds of thousands of square feet. And I was so excited. We were making this deal. I was in this meeting. And at the same time, my wife was having an ultrasound on her pregnancy prior to leaving to go to Washington for George H.W. Bush's inauguration. She had had a dress made, a maternity dress and all that stuff. And I walked out of this meeting with the success and the adoration of the partners that were in the deal with us. And she calls me on my cell phone as I'm driving back and said there was no heartbeat. So I went from the moon to Earth in about 4 seconds. And it really affected me, but it brought me closer to her because of my ego and I was doing what I wanted, but more closely to Jesus. And that was a big turning point in my life.
We're talking to Ed Russell, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom,
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohon. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Eddie Russell, a great friend. God gives all of us angels. God gave both you and me the same angel. Not everybody always calls him an angel, but the angel is Mike Timmis. Please.
Well, as earlier stated, I was invited to this Bible study that was run by Mike, and I knew Mike socially and through reading about he and Randy Agley, his partners, successes in Cranes, Detroit, and they were buying and selling companies and so on and so forth. But what I didn't know was that he had had, at that time, a recent faith transformation. Very devout Roman Catholic, but he had had an experience with Jesus that I knew nothing about. And so I was invited to this Bible study, and Mike literally took me under his wings. He saw something in me that he thought he could develop in terms of my ethics, the way that I responded to situations in my marriage. And he taught us each week, each Thursday morning, scripture, but more importantly, how to apply it to our lives, how to apply it to our business, how to apply it in the way we respond in certain situations. And that was such a wonderful experience to be able to be mentored by him. And as a matter of fact, we still, even though Mike is retired and he's down in Naples most of the winter, we meet every Tuesday morning via Zoom and talk about our lives for an hour every Tuesday morning.
From 1997 to 2013, he was chairman of Prison Fellowship International. He went to 124 countries on his own dime. He and Nancy, because of their son, Mike Jr., went to Uganda. They've transformed tens of thousands of lives in Uganda, and then Rwanda, Tanzania, Sudan. You've gone to some of those trips, and you talk about going to Uganda with Mike and Nancy Timmis.
It was wonderful. I'll tell you, Marcia and I went, I believe it was 2000 when we went, and I have never been to so many different receptions with cake and Fanta orange sodas and everything else, and the singing and the dancing. And just one of the beautiful things about the Cornerstone Schools is how they select students that come from different tribes, from different parts of the country, and put them together, typically opposites. Therefore, they learn from each other and learn that they aren't so different from what they typically think of the other ethnicity.
Okay, speaking of being used by God, in 2010, Ed, you and Mike Timmis start New Canaan Society, the Grosse Pointe chapter. How and why?
That's a great story, Jack. We were on a plane. We were taking off out of Palm Beach, five of us on a plane going down on a what they called a vision trip for Prison Fellowship. And within 10 minutes, one of Mike's guests that he brought over from Naples to go on the trip with us starts talking about this New Canaan Society, which was started in New Canaan, Connecticut, by a partner at Goldman Sachs. And he said, this is a transformative organization. It's marketplace guys that really can't necessarily interact with their employees to share their lives because they're the CEO or the CFO or the CTO or whatever they may be. And they feel as though they just can't share in ways that, that sometimes we need to share as men. And so he said, why don't you come to our national retreat at the Homestead in West Virginia? So I thought, wow, that sounds great. So that March, it was about a month or so later, we went down to the Homestead, and I was just amazed. We had nationally known speakers, guys that would share their faith journeys, their struggles, their victories, but all marketplace guys that weren't scared to build their faith and demonstrate their faith through action. And I was so impressed. So on the final morning, that Sunday morning, they said, hey, if you want to know more about starting a chapter wherever you are, meet in the back in the George Washington room, whatever it was, at 11:30, and we'll share the playbook with you. So that's what we did. I went back to Grosse Pointe to the Bible study that Mike had started, and I said, guys, I would love to do this. Who's with me? Because I wanted to have a platform that wasn't necessarily heavily religious, but that focused on friendship with Jesus and friendship with each other. And so that by that platform, we could invite guys that really wouldn't ever probably come to a Bible study or a meeting at a particular church because of whatever label happened to be over the front door. And it's proven to be a very, very successful formula.
So every Wednesday morning in the boiler room,
yep,
downstairs, starting about 7 o'clock, guys come in. 95% of them don't have socks on. Well, share with us the playbook. What happens every Wednesday?
Well, we open the doors at 7 a.m. We have a hard start at 7:30. And our format basically is many times a lighthearted or comical video for 2 minutes or so that kind of sets the tone. We have some announcements. We have prayer requests, which is probably one of the best things that we do. It's amazing to hear men in a room share intimate situations in their lives, both burdens and victories. And then we have a speaker, and that speaker will share for 25 minutes or so about his faith journey and the challenges that he has. And the whole motivation here is to allow men to hear these faith stories and say, wow, I thought I was the only one that had situations of concern over alcoholism or drugs or carousing or porn or, you know, issues with the way I run my business. It's amazing to hear these stories and
hold on a minute. Yeah. So you've got 40, 50 guys there. You're telling me sometimes a stranger walks in, he gets up and he shares his dirty underwear with you? He's vulnerable,
yep,
with these 40 strangers?
Yep. What we like to say is...
What do you put in the coffee?
Yeah. We say we want speakers to come in and open the kimono. Yep. So...
How do they do that?
Well...
I could never do that.
They get vulnerable. One of the rules that we have, similar to Vegas, is what happens in the boiler room or what's said in the boiler room stays in the boiler room. And there's been some very open and honest sharing that goes on, but it strengthens these men because there's the victory that they hear about turning their lives over to a faith walk through Jesus.
We're talking Eddie Russell. He and Mike Timmons in 2010 started New Canaan Society Grosse Pointe chapter. It's in the boiler room. Unkirchable. Every Wednesday, 7 a.m. Mother Teresa would come to America. Mike and Nancy went to Calcutta one time to be with her. Mm-hmm. And one time she came to America and she says, as I go through America, I see a disease that's rampant, spreading like cancer everywhere. And the disease is called loneliness. So many of us are guys, we hold everything in. You know, we're very, very lonely. What do you say to us?
Well, that's one of the things that we try to explore in New Canaan Society. You know, as men, we're fixers, right? I mean, women can get together and they can meet, and 5 minutes later they're best friends and they're sharing everything about everything. But men like to be, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide, and they want to talk about the Tigers or the Pistons or whatever it happens to be, and not necessarily they want to put on fronts, and they're forward with their status in their company. They're forward in the latest car or vacation or whatever it may have been. But you know, with New Canaan Society, we really try to get to the core of who people are, to make that connection. That's really the big thing.
You do this about 40 plus weeks a year, times 16. That's 700 weeks you've done this. Ed Russell, what's the biggest thing you've learned from those 700 plus NCS weekly meetings?
I think the biggest thing I've learned is that Jesus shows up at every meeting. I've had speakers that I thought, oh boy, is this guy going to be too heavy? Is his story not interesting? Will he speak to the hearts of the men that we have? And absolutely every meeting, someone is there that is touched by the speaker, and it's transformative.
It's been an honor to come a number of times, and a few times I've presented. So
Absolutely. That's
been an honor. Thank you for allowing me to happen. I admire you, Ed Russell. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.